Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Transportation Committee. First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for March 3rd, 2025. Representative Joy, have you had an opportunity to review the minutes, and would you move them, please?
So move.
Representative Joy moves the approval of the March 3rd, 2025 minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. A few bills up today. We should be able to get through the whole schedule. Representative Cagle?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to address kind of our last committee hearing. I want to apologize to Representative West. I know I didn't handle that very well. I was operating out of my emotional mind, and I do still stand by the fact that I think that it was a bad bill that was targeted at specific communities, but I don't believe I expressed my opinions very well. And I've already texted Representative West, but I want to make sure that, you know, I recognize I might have done some professional damage, and I'm hoping that we can work to restore that. I think everybody deserves grace and the ability to make mistakes and move on. And so I just I was hoping to catch Representative West today, but I just wanted to say I'm sorry.
Representative Cagle, I appreciate those comments. And members, I just remind all of us, you know, to stick to the critiques and merits of the bills that are in front of us. That's the purpose of committee, to discuss the policy before us and keep personalities and motives out. And so we fail oftentimes here. So I appreciate the lead Cagle's comments, and we'll move forward. We have important work to do and look forward to doing it. The only way we're going to be successful is working together. The first couple bills we're going to just go through rather quickly. They're no pun intended, but always the joke of the Transportation Committee is vehicle bills. These bills are just technical in nature for the most part, and it just provides us an opportunity to pass our budget bills as we get through the end of session and to have them in particular places. So the first bill is House File 1601. 1691, excuse me. That is a technical clarifying changes. Let me look at it real quick again. This one's a very technical one. If members have any questions, otherwise I will move House File 1691 to the General Register. Any member questions? We'll just take a voice vote. All those in favor of House File 1691, motion to the General Register, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? 1691 has, the motion passes and is moving to the General Register. The next file, 1693, is in front of us. I will move 1693 also to the General Register. Any member questions?
Mr. Chair, can you just maybe walk through the bill, please?
Excuse me?
Can we just get an explanation quickly of the bills?
Sure.
Thank you.
Mr. Burris, could you explain 1693?
Mr. Chair and members, House File 1693 makes some technical changes related to state aid. These changes don't have a substantive impact. They just provide some clarifications and some language modernization.
Any other member questions? All those in favor of House File 1693 to the General Register, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any of those opposed? The motion is adopted. Next file, 1692. I will move 1692 to Ways and Means. Any member questions?
Hi, Chair Kosnick. So I'm wondering where, if you can help me understand where this bill came from.
Members, as I stated earlier, these are vehicle bills that are mostly technical in nature with no substantive changes, but I can Mr. Burris can talk about it. I know this deals with the Stone Arch Bridge in your district, so I'm sure that's why your inquiry. Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair and members, House File 1692 is a cancellation provision. In 2023 legislation, there was a $5 million appropriation for the Stone Arch Bridge. Most of those dollars have been expended, but there is an unexpended balance that's estimated at roughly $19,000. This would cancel that at the end of the end of this fiscal year 2025.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Burris. So my understanding is that this funding is still needed for this project. And so I am wondering why we are targeting one particular project for clawing back funding.
Representative Jones, again, the funding is still there and in its original intent until the end of the effective date on this, if I understood Mr. Burris correctly. And so if those $19,000 are still needed, they will be available to the project. But if they're not, then they'll be canceled out. And again, this is moving so that we can put the final transportation bill together. Usually then a delete all amendment would be added to it, and we would, whatever bills pass out of this committee would be amended onto this House file number. So the House file is just a vehicle so that we can put the bill back together of what we agree on. It's pretty standard, but if you have any further questions?
I don't, Mr. Chair.
Any other member questions? All those in favor of House File, I'll renew the motion. All those in favor of House File 1692 to the Ways and Means Committee, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails. The next one is 1695. We did get a call on this one, so I'll just go straight to Mr. Burris, if you don't mind. This is dealing with the Civil Air Patrol and their annual appropriation. But I will make the motion for House File 1695 also be moved to the Ways and Means Committee.
Mr. Chair and members, House File 1695 would make appropriations for the Civil Air Patrol. The amount is $80,000 in each of the two upcoming fiscal years and the upcoming biennium. These would be appropriations from the State Airports Fund. This amount reflects the current base for Civil Air Patrol that was established in the current budget.
Thank you, Mr. Burris. Any member questions? Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I haven't seen our Civil Air Patrol things this year, so looking
the membership cards.
Yeah.
Maybe with the late start they got late start too. Newer members, you will be asked to join the Civil Air Patrol. It's all up to you, but I believe they do good work and doesn't cost anything to join. I'll renew the motion. House File 1695, motion to Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails. All right, members, that concludes our little vehicle bill segment. Thank you for your patience. We'll go to House File 202, Representative Bakeberg. Representative Bakeberg, I used to call you
Bakeberg. A lot worse.
I used to call you Bakenberg. Representative Bakeberg, please welcome to the committee. Introduce your bill. I will move House File 202 to the General Register.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Thank you for hearing House File 202. It's a very simple technical correction. Bill providing funding from the general fund we received in the transportation omnibus in 2023 to construct the interchange at 169 and 282 in County Road 9 in Jordan. So if you're driving south on 169, just before the candy store, the last stoplight is there. That's what we're talking about. So this correction is necessary because MnDOT is now leading the project. So we need to change having the money directed from Scott County in the bill as it's currently written to be directed instead to MnDOT. Otherwise, Scott County would be faced with a cash flow issue of $4.9 million for 2 years until the completion of the project when we could seek reimbursement after construction. This was missed in last year's technical correction bill. You may recall MnDOT corrected the corresponding $4.2 million allocation from the trunk highway bonds, or trunk highway funds last year. Just a little bit of an overview. This interchange is the last remaining stoplight from Mankato up to Champlin, where 40% of Minnesota's GDP traverses in the area. This stoplight intersection is an incredibly dangerous over the past few years, so it's important that we, or for years, so we get this construction underway and get rolling. So the companion was passed out of the Senate this week. MnDOT needs this technical correction in place by, or Scott County will be forced with this cash flow issue, and we need this done by the end of May. So I have Lisa Fries here to answer any questions from a technical side, but that is the bill. It's pretty straightforward.
Thank you, Representative Bakeberg. There is an A2 amendment. I will move the A2 amendment. Do you want to speak to it, or Representative Tabke?
I can speak to it, Mr. Chair. So this came from the city of Shakopee. It really relates to, and it's really a priority to the community. There's a pedestrian bridge connecting a neighborhood with a bike area. And in the construction, the city of Shakopee understood that there was that it was going to be lit, the sign. So there's a disagreement and some confusion between MnDOT and the city of Shakopee. This just provides clarity that it can be lit. It's all ready to go. From my understanding, talking with the city, it's literally three wires that need to be connected to make this happen. And there is the most important thing for you, there is no cost to the transportation committee.
Thank you. I believe there's one testifier from MnDOT on the A2 amendment, and if anybody else, please notify the pages, or we'll ask for a public comment on there. Mr. Radin, welcome back to the committee. Well, always a pleasure to have you here every day, every meeting. Please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Eric Radin with MnDOT Government Affairs, and thank you for the opportunity to comment on the amendment. First, I want to thank Representative Tabke for reaching out to us. Actually, I think it was last summer, it was the first conversation we had about this. So appreciate all those conversations and for sharing the language with us in advance. That is very much appreciated. I do want to just share a couple of concerns from a traffic safety perspective. You know, we are all aware there are a lot of distractions on the roadside already, and the department believes that signage should be to help direct and inform motorists. And so traffic safety signs like speed limit signs or those sorts of things are really what we want motorists to be focused on. And so although I wouldn't characterize this as a major traffic safety concern, there is a concern that, you know, if we start seeing these sort of all over the metro and, you know, if the lights are too bright, they could be distracting to motorists. And so, we just kind of wanted to get that on the record that we do have that concern. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Radin. Any member comments on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, I will just say I appreciate the department's concerns. I think there's things that we should take into consideration as a committee. My understanding is there might be a more broader policy that the committee will work on later this session. But despite that, this is kind of a minor issue, and so I will support the A2 amendment. Any other member questions? Representative Scrabba, I already asked you once, but go ahead.
Sorry. I have to speak out for us old people on the road. More light is better than less light. Thank you.
Representative Scrabba, I'm not sure that's a great transportation safety policy, but okay. Seeing no other comment, is there any other public testimony? No member comments. All those in favor of adopting the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The amendment is adopted. Back to the underlying bill, House File 202 as adopted. Any member comments, questions? Any other public testimony? Seeing none, all those in favor of the House File 202 as amended to the General Register, I will move that for you, Representative Bakeberg. Do you have any closing comments?
Thank you. Look forward to getting it done. I'm good.
Ms. Fries, did you get a chance to testify or speak in favor? And I think we went right over.
I think he covered all the comments I would have made.
Well, my apologies. Thank you for being here and making sure that we get this taken care of for Scott County. Representative Koznick renews the motion for House File 202 as amended to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Hearing none, the motion prevails. Next on the agenda, we will let's go to Representative Novotny's House File 1255. Welcome to the committee, Chair Novotny. Please introduce your bill. And I believe there is an amendment as well. Do you want us to adopt the amendment first and then speak to the bill?
I'll speak to the amendment and then go to the, or speak to the bill overall and then go to the amendment, if that's okay with you, Chair Koznick.
That'd be just great. Please proceed.
Thank you. I was approached by the president of the Minnesota Troopers Association about a bill that they had proposing that they buy their badges, and I immediately said yes. I've been around, and it was never in the patrol, but worked with many people and knew what the badges mean to them. When I first started, I had the opportunity to work with a trooper that was assigned to our area, and he was the son of a trooper and proudly wore his father's badge, was one of the original single-digit badge numbers. And he had carried that on, and I believe he's retired now, but he carried that badge with honor, and he had planned on handing that down when he had a chance, if he had a son or a daughter that went into the patrol. With that in mind and knowing what the trooper badges mean to them, they're a little bit different design than we had at the county, that they can be polished and cleaned up, whereas the badges we had at the county had a finish on them, and once it was scratched, they would tarnish, and there wasn't anything you could do with that. So, like I said, knowing the history of the badges, I immediately thought it was a good idea. The problem is that with the changing of the state seal, the current badges that they have been, or if they haven't been replaced already, that they will be replaced with the new state seal. And the plan at the time, without any thing, was just to throw away the old badges. So they requested that they be able to buy the badges for the value that they had, which leads to, Chair Koznick, the amendment that we had. The question was, what is a couple ounces of brass worth? And how do you come up with a value of that? Its weight is worth in scrap metal. And the original bill, as was offered, had the plan to have the troopers pay for the bill, but then as they presented the bill, I believe it was last week in the Senate, it was agreed by a couple of senators that and I hate the thing, the squeeze wasn't worth the juice, and that we should just let the troopers keep the expired badges. So that leads to the amendment one. Amendment one just changes the language to match what the Senate passed last week, deleting sell and insert provide at no cost.
Thank you, Chair Novotny. Just for the record, Representative Koznick moves House File 1255 to the General Register. I will also move House File or the A1 amendment in front of the committee. Any questions on the A1 amendment, members? All those in favor of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The amendment is adopted. Back to House File 1255 as adopted. Members, any comments, questions?
Chair, I'd like to say I have with me who presented me with the bill to start with and requested this, Mike Ledoux from the Minnesota Troopers Association.
Welcome to the committee again. Please introduce yourself for the record, the audio and video, and love to hear your testimony. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Mike Ledoux, and I've had the honor of serving as a Minnesota State Trooper for 30 years. I'm the president of the Minnesota State Patrol Troopers Association, and I appear before you today in strong support of House File 1255, now amended to reflect the Senate's changes under Senate File 1158. I extend my gratitude to Representative Novotny for his support of the legislation as well as the co-authors. House File 1255 as amended is a straightforward common sense measure that ensures state troopers, commercial vehicle inspectors, and Capitol Security officers can receive their surplus badges at no cost when they became available due to the state seal update. For those who serve in law enforcement, a badge is more than just an identifier. It's a symbol of dedication, sacrifice, and commitment to protecting the people of Minnesota. Allowing current and retired personnel to retain their surplus badges ensures these meaningful emblems stay with those who have earned them. Rather than discarding these badges as surplus, House File 1255, as amended by the Senate, authorizes the Commissioner of Public Safety to provide them at no cost to the individuals who wore them. The bill establishes a practical and responsible process preventing waste and ensuring these badges are preserved as historical keepsakes, retirement mementos, or family heirlooms rather than being discarded or destroyed. The bill also upholds tradition. For decades, troopers have had their badges pinned on them by family members during their swearing-in ceremonies. These badges hold deep sentimental value. They are not just pieces of metal, but tangible representations of careers dedicated to public safety. Furthermore, the bill provides consistency for future retirees, ensuring that those who serve in the coming years will have the same opportunity to keep these symbols of service. By passing House File 1255 with the Senate's amendment, we honor the service of Minnesota troopers while ensuring practical and a reasonable approach to this surplus property. I strongly encourage this committee to support the amended version of the bill and would be happy to stand for questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Ledoux. Members, do we have any questions, comments? I would just say I was aware of this issue over the summer. One of my constituents came up to me, started talking to me about it at a football game, and didn't even realize he was a trooper. He was just a dad at a football game. But appreciate the service and great bill. Happy to support it. No member comments? Any other public testimony? Representative Novotny, I will renew House File 1255 as amended to the general register for you. We'll go to the vote. All those in favor of House File 1255 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Novotny and Mr. Ledoux. I see we have, we're going to go to 1290, Representative Perryman. I know she's double booked here with committee, so we're going to jump to 1290. Representative Perryman, before we get started, your testifier is online, is that correct?
That is correct, Chair.
Okay. The Chair will move House File 1290. And Representative Perryman, I believe there's an amendment. That's a DE amendment. I will move the DE1 amendment, and you can proceed with your introducing your bill for us, please.
Thank you, Chair and committee. This bill aims to really improve public access to automatic external defibrillators, AEDs, by authorizing roadside signage to guide people to registered outdoor public access AED locations. technically a wayfinding signage. That is my bill. My testifier will fill in the blanks with the technology of it and the language of what we're presenting today.
Thank you, Representative Pearman. One second. Okay, members, we have the DE amendment in front of us. All those in favor of the DE1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The amendment is adopted. I will formally make the motion. I'm not sure if I previously did. This bill will be going to state and local government.
I think government operations is the local government one.
I will move that this bill be referred to the elections, finance, and government operations. That will be your next stop. To the bill, we have two people online, Mr. Rich Fennies and John Vogel. If you can hear us, please unmute yourself, and one of you introduce yourself for the record so we know who you are, and then proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Rich Fennies, and I'm the founder of Advocates for Health. Advocates for Health is a Minnesota-based 501c3 nonprofit organization. Our mission is to bring public access to AEDs and awareness to the location of AEDs to the public. Our vision is to bridge the gap between when a sudden cardiac arrest occurs and when EMS arrives at the scene. Our goal is to accomplish this through a combination of awareness, access, action, and assurance. Just a brief background, a sudden cardiac arrest, as opposed to a heart attack, a sudden cardiac arrest is literally an electrical problem. And the cure, so to speak, is a combination of CPR and the administration of an AED. With a sudden cardiac arrest, if you don't have CPR and an AED, your chance of survival is 5% or less. If you have CPR in conjunction with an AED, that turns into a 75 to 85% chance of survival. A heart attack is a plumbing problem. It's a blockage of an artery. The chances of survival of a heart attack are as high as 90%. So while most people use both terms in the same vein, they are entirely different. One is an electrical problem. One is a plumbing problem. Sudden cardiac arrest is the leading cause of death in the United States. It's more than all other accidents and illnesses combined. It is... Each year, over 360,000 people die of sudden cardiac arrest in the United States. 23,000 of them are 18 years or younger. As I mentioned before, 95% of the people who suffer a sudden cardiac arrest die before reaching the hospital. In the United States, each day, 1,000 people die of sudden cardiac arrest. When someone experiences a sudden cardiac arrest, every moment is critical. It's essential to have vital information about the nearest AED readily available. After the first 4 minutes of a sudden cardiac arrest, the chance of survival decreases by 10% for each additional minute that passes. Interesting statistic, over 90% of sudden cardiac arrests occur where an AED was readily available within a quarter mile, but people simply weren't aware of its existence. AEDs can be hidden and locked up in locked buildings, so they're not always available 24/7. Our product is a weatherproof cabinet that is outside and readily available to the public 24/7. It is not locked. We monitor it constantly so that we know that it's working. Right now, over 90% of the governmental agencies that we work with, cities, counties, and townships, allow the installation of our standard cardiac restart directional sign to guide individuals to a life-saving AED. not only is the signage good for directional signs, it also creates what we refer to as top of the mind awareness, where people are aware that an AED is available at a particular location. They might not need it this particular instance, but they know that it's there if they do need it. With that, I'll answer any questions that the committee members might have.
Thank you very much, sir. We will next have Joel Vogel, if you can hear us.
Chair, I think Joel Vogel is not going to be on today, so I just have one testifier.
Oh, thank you, Representative Perryman. Mr. Vogel, we do have you on.
Oh, I apologize then.
If Mr. Vogel, if you can hear us, if you can unmute yourself and willing to testify, now's your time.
Yeah, my name is Joel Vogel. I'm actually a co-founder of Advocates for Health, the nonprofit with Rich Van Nuys. I think Rich did a really good job of explaining it. The only thing that I would mention that for consideration, because he talked exclusively about sudden cardiac arrest and heart attacks, but an AED is also needed in an electrocution, in a drowning, and so sadly also a drug overdose. And that's when it's going to save your life. So having those signs available, so there's directional signs that can point people to them, is going to save lives. And I'll also be available to answer any questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Any other testimony in the public here? Any member questions? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To Representative Perryman, thank you so much for bringing this forward. I don't know how you kind of got angled down this way, but sometimes people become so-and-so, you know, this becomes their specialty. The identification or the signage of AEDs is of vital importance. I have a friend of the family whose daughter, a young gal, was playing basketball and had a heart problem, and sadly she passed away even though the AED was 100 feet from her. But they didn't know where it was or how to obtain it. So continue. I hope you don't just end with the local road signage, and hopefully we can move forward. And I'd love to work with you on anything else in the future regarding signage and just AEDs in general. Thank you so much.
Wow, thank you, Rep. I appreciate that.
Please speak through the chair.
Sorry, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. Perryman, for bringing this. I also agree. I think this is really important. I was a lifeguard at one point in my life, and so I can understand the importance of AEDs. And actually, just I'm kind of curious and like to learn more. Is this kind of a first-in-the-nation thing to put AED signage along roadsides, or is this does it exist in other places?
Thank you.
Yes, Van Nuys here. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we currently operate nationally with
Mr. Freeze. Please proceed.
I'm sorry. We currently operate nationally with our AED program, and we typically work with local, whether it be county, township, or cities, to install our AED units outside. And with that, that complements the information that's needed to find them. The directional signage is routinely used to get people and make them aware of the locations.
Thank you, sir. Any other member questions? Representative Scraba?
I'm just curious who's going to pay for signs.
Chair?
Representative Perryman.
Representative Scraba, thank you for the question. There is no cost to the state. The $4,000 per sign will be assigned to the individual who is having the AED at their location. So it'll be their responsibility to pay for the sign.
Thank you, Representative Perryman. Appreciate that. Thank you. Representative Scraba, any follow-up or you're good? Representative Jones?
Yeah, sorry. No, I think there was, Mr. Chair, I think there was a little bit of a confusion on that piece. Just given the fiscal note, it did seem, I mean, $4,000 is not a whole lot of money, but just wanting to make sure, you know, again, I'm first term, wanting to make sure I understood that $4,000, it wasn't from the state. Can you help Me understand that?
Representative Jones, why don't we have our fiscal analyst just clarify for us? I had similar questions. Just how does the financing work and who pays for the signs and what is the coming out of the trunk highway?
Mr. Chair and Representative Jones, if you look on the fiscal note, specifically on page 4, you'll notice line 1 and the table at the top, expenditures of $4,000 a year, and then revenues in at $4,000 a year under that. And in the second, there's the first sentence and then the second paragraph, the last sentence, MnDOT assumes participants must cover the costs associated with installation, maintenance, and removal of signage. The section is effective upon enactment. And then you can see the assumptions where MnDOT assumes the where AED signage will be needed. And then on the next page is an explanation of sign installation costs, panel fabrication, hours for installation, and the it adds up to the estimated cost of $40.74 per sign or per location, which is 6 signs. So that's the fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Burris, do you have some can help us further clarify?
Mr. Chair and members, just so that you are aware, the language around that on the DE amendment is found at the bottom of page 1 and then going on to page 2. So the sentence starts all costs associated with and then continues installation and so on has to be paid by the qualified participant. So that's similar language to what's in the original bill. So one could anticipate that the fiscal note, when it gets updated for the DE, would set out similar cost expectations and assumptions.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Burris. Representative Jones, is any follow-up, or is that pretty well explained? Seeing any other member questions? Great. I will renew my motion for House File, or excuse me, Representative Perryman, would you like to close your bill?
Thank you, Chair and Committee. I just want to say this is a bipartisan bill. Representative Hewitt is not present, but he is my co-author, and it will save lives. So great bill, and I look forward to it moving forward.
Thank you, Representative Perryman. I will renew my motion for House File 1290 as amended to the Committee on Elections, Finance, and Government Operations. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Perryman. Let's go to Representative Allen, House File 1463. Welcome to the committee, Representative Allen. We do have a technical amendment. This bill will be laid over within the committee, and so the pages are passing out the technical amendment. Why don't we proceed with you introducing your bill for us, and then we'll have Mr. Burris, if you'd like, or you explain the amendment. So I will move for you, we will lay over House File 1463.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. May I proceed? Good afternoon, Chair Kosnick, Lead Cagle, and fellow members of the Transportation Finance and Policy Committee. My name is Keith Allen from rural Kenyon, Minnesota. I am fortunate enough to sit in the people's seat of 19A. Today, I am introducing House File 1463, Town Roads and Bridges Funding. Thank you for allowing me the time to be able to speak to this critical issue facing many townships in the state of Minnesota. I'm very familiar with this issue as of up till a few months ago. I myself was a township supervisor in Cherry Grove Township down in Goodhue County. And I understand firsthand the importance of what this does. my experience with it was it started with a bridge that ended up going bad in my township. It created a very large hardship on our community. It was slated to be replaced within 3 years, and all suddenly a bridge, surprisingly, from the 1920s, was no longer past inspection and was shut down in a fast emergency. It meant we had to reroute everything from emergency services, such as fire, police, ambulance services. We ended up having to negotiate with our local neighbors as far as how they were going to be able to get their milk away from their farming operations. It was a genuinely large nightmare, but luckily we had a great group of individuals to help us work our way through it. And that kind of got me thinking about the impact that rural and township roads have on the state of Minnesota. Township roads are the starting point of Minnesota's economic drivers. These are many of the roads that many people enjoy using to get to their favorite cabin on a lake, hunting spots, a way to get to the state park for hiking and camping. These roads are responsible for delivering ambulances, fire trucks, and sheriff's departments in the time of need. It's the beginning point for the transportation of our commodities in the state of Minnesota, such as corn, soybeans, pork, beef, turkeys, and forestry products. And more importantly, Minnesota's most valuable natural resource, our children, on their way to school and on their way back home again. Seated next to me is Mr. Graham Moberg from the Minnesota Association of Townships. He is completely familiar with the roads and bridges issue faced by townships throughout the state of Minnesota, and he will go into greater depth about the bill you have before you.
Great job, Representative Allen. Is it true that this is your first bill?
Yes, sir.
How's it going?
Good so far, Mr. Chair.
Well, you know, this is past the lunch hour, and, you know, we tend to get a little hungry here in transportation, but we will proceed with your testifier. Where are we? Mr. Graham Moberg, welcome back to the committee. You've been here before. Please proceed with your testimony and identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Kosnick, and I'd like to thank Representative Allen for his leadership on this issue. My name is Graham Berg Moberg. I am with the Minnesota Association of Townships, and just briefly for those of you who don't know us, we represent almost all of Minnesota's 1,776 townships. It's about 9,000 township officers and about 900,850,000 residents of the state of Minnesota. It's about 16% of the state's population. Disproportionately rural, disproportionately represent areas with low tax bases. Often, our members don't have any staff whatsoever relying on the labor of the elected officials themselves. Now, we are responsible for about 55,000 miles of road, more than any other unit of government. Now, while they aren't, of course, the most travel roads, nevertheless, they are particularly critical for that first mile getting food from the fields to Minnesota's forks, getting our citizens to work, emergency services access, as well as lake access for millions of Minnesotans. Most of the funding to maintain that road network comes on the back of local property taxpayers. Now, township roads have been suffering from underinvestment for some time, unfortunately. Even bridges, which have traditionally been the closest thing to a bright spot in our transportation universe, have been suffering from inflation in recent years. Now, in November of this year, we were appraised that not less than 4 projects were languishing for lack of funds. That would be in Medford Township, Merton Township, Havana Township, and St. Joseph Township. While this particular issue ended up getting addressed by MnDOT redistributing funds from the general to the special town bridge account, that is a Band-Aid. Given that costs of these projects are not coming down, and the sheer number of bridges on the deficiency list, which is north of 350 at the last time I checked, this problem is going to get worse and not better. Transportation funding gaps have gotten serious enough that we've recently seen a township actually dissolve due to inability to meet its obligation. In 2022, Cass County turned back portions of County Roads 132, 133, and 134 to Lima Township. They were a small township. They had about 100 people. They were simply not able to afford, and they formally dissolved because they were unable to meet their obligations in 2023. And we understand that this is a tight budget year, and we know that folks must carefully prioritize, but we feel that making sure our rural citizens have access to markets, schools, emergency services is absolutely something that the state of Minnesota should prioritize. We think this bill is a big step in the right direction. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, sir. We did have Mr. Harris on the list, but I don't think he's here. Okay. Any other public test, anyone wishing to testify from the public? Seeing none, we'll go to member questions. Did we adopt the amendment? Oh, Representative Tabke. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Allen. So I am generally in transportation a firm believer that the state is responsible for the state slice of things, county, city, and townships on things. And with this, we've heard many bills, multiple bills so far this session from Republican members that is our massive cuts to transportation funding in a variety of different forms like that, which would absolutely cut into what we currently have for going to townships. And so do you believe that statewide taxes should go to local township projects? Is that what you're bringing forward in this bill?
Representative Allen.
Mr. Chair and Representative Tapke, thank you for the question. Yes, this is something that's traditionally happened over multiple years. It's been my experience, as at least as a township supervisor, that when we collect taxes in terms of road tax and whatnot, that ends up funneling back down towards townships. There are several things that do happen within our communities, whether or not that's individuals being issued tickets or for instance, with police departments, and those tickets, typically those dollars never flow back towards the township. That usually stays within county. But I would also refer to my testifier here to see if he has any further comments.
Mr. Berg, Moberg?
Chair Krasnick.
First comment?
Yes. Traditionally, the state of Minnesota has funded township roads the same as it's funded other infrastructure projects for the benefit of the state of Minnesota. Now, the Township Association doesn't really want to take a position in terms of prioritizing one or the other. We understand that there's a lot of needs out there. Nevertheless, this is a critical piece in making sure that Minnesota is healthy economically, physically, and able to get to the lakes that we all value.
Representative Tabke?
And just to follow up, Representative Allen, so like in Shakopee, our local roads don't get any state funding for local roads. Those are firmly local roads. And I just take issue with the fact that we're talking about putting millions of dollars into some roads and others, and also taking back at the same time significant amount of funding that will help for our state roads and things that we need. So I just have concerns about this moving forward and how this will impact our budget and our ability to take care of our state roads in Minnesota. So I just don't know if you want to add anything else on that, but I just want to make sure that I have to reflect that I have some serious problems with putting funding into projects like these. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Tapke. Any other member comments? Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to introduce a new transportation baby. But I also, you know, I do think that the town, you know, it's a worthy thing. But, you know, with the general fund money, it's just we have to be very careful going forward. And so I would love to be able to work with you on ways that we can address that issue. But, you know, with being mindful that, you know, we might not have a lot of wiggle room.
Thank you, Representative Cagle. What is the transportation baby's name? Maybe Representative Sensenmuir. I've asked you to introduce it. We don't know the name.
Yuna.
Yuna.
Y-U-N-A.
Beautiful. We do. Any other member comments? Representative Allen, please close your bill.
Is this, Mr. Chair, is this the point in time when you'd like to take that or the oral amendment to the bill?
Representative Allen and members, we are laying the bill over. I asked myself that question about 5 minutes ago. Since we're just laying the bill over, we don't need to adopt the amendment.
Okay.
Appreciate the discussion and the topic, but you're welcome to make final closing comments on your bill.
Yes, and thank you again, committee, for sitting down and taking the opportunity to be able to listen to this. As to Representative Tabke and Cagle's points. They're well taken. The reality of it is we are dealing with communities that have a very low population base. They are expected to bear the brunt of trying to maintain such a large percentage of the roads and bridges in the state of Minnesota. And many of those superintendents and people that are involved in those communities are doing this at literally for next to nothing. And you can ask my wife. She probably would echo my sentiments to that. And realistically, what ends up happening is those roads do get used by all of us in Minnesota. It's not limited strictly to the individuals within those townships, but they're actually required and they're expected to be there for people to be able to get from point A to point B, especially when they're going to their, like I said, to their favorite lake spot or their favorite hunting spot. So I would appreciate your support in this bill. And again, thank you for taking the time to listen to my first bill. And to your point, Chair, I will make sure I have treats here for your next committee meeting. I would blame the weather, but that would probably be a bad excuse.
Thank you, Representative Allen. Appreciate the bill and your future endowments to the committee. With that, House File 1463 is laid over. We have two more bills. We'll push mine toward to the end. And Representative Anderson, House File 1406.
It does make sounds, doesn't it?
Representative Anderson is a member of the committee. Please introduce your bill, and you will be moving this bill. I think we're laying it over.
Is that right?
Yeah, double check here. Okay. We're going to lay the bill over, so please introduce your bill and proceed with introducing it, and then you can move your amendment, however you want to do it.
Thank you, Chair Kosnick. We do have an A1 amendment, if we could move the amendment.
Representative Anderson moves the A1 amendment. Any questions, or are all those in favor of adopting the A1 author's amendment signify by saying aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? The amendment is adopted. So please introduce House File 1406 as amended.
Thank you, Chair Kosnick and members of the committee. House File 1406 is a very simple bill that deals with titles when a car is salvaged. And I'm going to turn over for the details to Todd Hill, who will speak on the bill. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Hill. This is like a perennial subject a little bit that I've worked on in the past, so it seems to always have a few little issues, but I appreciate the work. It's important in the transportation world. So please provide your testimony, introduce yourself, and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Kosnick and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Todd Hill with Hill Capital Strategies, and I'm here on behalf of our client, Copart. Copart is a national vehicle auction service company with three locations in Minnesota, and Copart primarily serves insurance companies and handles vehicles that are in a total loss situation. And yes, it seems like we're always salvage titles in the transportation committee. But House File 1406 is really meant to address two unique problems insurance and salvage auto auction companies face. Section 1 would establish a process which would allow an insurance carrier to file for a title from DVS for a vehicle that's been declared a total loss and the claim has been settled. However, there are situations where the insurance company, though, is then not able to get the proper paperwork from the vehicle's original owner and is unable to get the title transferred into their name. This bill in Section 1 would just establish a process for them to do that and would bring Minnesota into alignment with roughly 41 other states and all of our neighboring states. And Section 2 addresses kind of a unique situation that Copart and other vehicle salvage auction companies find themselves in. This situation occurs. There are often times where a car has been involved in an accident. It is delivered to Copart or some other auto auction company, and then for one reason or another, the claim may be denied, and the car ends up sitting at our vehicle auction location. Typically, not typically, but sometimes with cars that are very low value, the car ends up being abandoned at our location, and we're unable to do anything with that vehicle. The insurance company has informed the insured that the claim's not going to be processed, but we're stuck with this car. And so the section two of this bill would set up a process for us to be able to communicate with the vehicle owner, and then if it is in fact abandoned, would allow us to have the title transferred into our name, and then we can go ahead and dispose of the vehicle. Again, these are two just really unique situations for our business, and I appreciate everyone's support. I know of no opposition to this bill. The amendment that we put on the bill was to address a technical concern of the Department of Vehicle Services. So with that, happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Members, we've adopted the amendment. We're laying the bill over. Any discussion? You're getting off pretty easy today. Mm-hmm. Representative Anderson, do you want to close your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have really nothing to add. This is very simple, and it's an issue we deal with regularly. So thank you.
Thank you for bringing the bill forward. Appreciate the testifiers. House File 1406 is laid over. As amended, is laid over. Members, I will, let's just do House File 268. I'll just do it from here, similar to the vehicle bills. House File 268 is a bill that I'm authoring. I will move to lay 268 over, and introducing the bill. It directs any local units of government that receive transportation funding from the state that if they're banking on the money and receiving fee or income, interest income on those pools of money that are derived from state transportation dollars, that those fees or interest income stay within that transportation pool of money. And so this was brought to me by a local unit of government as a kind of a good transportation, good governance bill. Representative Cagle, I think you had some an amendment that we're just going to lay it over. So do you want to talk about your amendment?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So what my amendment does is it actually just adds a reporting component to it. So making sure that when we get that information or that when they're gathering that information, that they're also compiling a report on how that money is being spent and where it's going. And then, you know, that's sent to MnDOT and ultimately us. So hopefully trying to consolidate some reporting as well.
Thank you, Representative Cagle. I think it's the amendment is definitely worth discussing. We're holding the bill over, so we'll continue to have some discussion. Is there any members of the public that want to testify? Seeing none, last chance. We'll go to member discussion. Members have any questions? Seeing none, that's pretty simple. Representative Cagle, I appreciate your amendment, and I think that's some good work that we can do here in the committee and make sure that the dollars that we allocate are retained for the intended purposes. So we'll continue to work on that. House File 268 is laid over. How are we doing? Members, that's the rest of the calendar for today, the agenda. I appreciate the participation, discussion, and members that introduced bills. Next meeting is Monday at 1:00. The meeting is adjourned.